The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. Pierre Godet is profoundly shocked regarding the way Emilie receives the news of her former fiancé's serious illness. He tells Lucien of her callous behavior, and Lucien is incensed. Pierre, however, thinks that there is a ray of hope for the dying Louis. He goes to visit a friend of his, one of the greatest physicians in Paris, who gives him the name of a brilliant young man who consents to go to Corsica with them, partly on a holiday, and partly because he can attend the sick de Franchi boy. On the day of the evening when they are to leave for Toulon, Lucien, who has been very quiet, unexpectedly tells Pierre that he will do some sightseeing in Paris. Later, Emilie Latouche, who is preparing to go to a reception, sees the reflection of a face in her mirror. It is Lucien de Franchi climbing through the window. His face is set in grim lines as he advances across the room. He tells her that he is going to throttle her.
Louis! Louis, please!
Louis! That's fine.
Louis, you're joking.
Does a man joke when he says he's going to break a pretty neck? You will have an opportunity now to find out whether I'm joking or not.
Louis, I pray you. You're ill. I know you're ill. I was told you were ill.
Indeed.
Yes, your friend Monsieur Godet came to me. Or did he lie? He told me you were ill and in Corsica. But you don't look ill, Louis. Oh, Louis, please don't look so strangely at me. You talk so strangely. What are you staring at?
He was right. You are beautiful. Your fair hair, your blue eyes, your milky white skin. They match the pearls in your ears.
You were joking, weren't you?
Yes. Perhaps I was joking.
So Monsieur Godet lied.
Yes, he lied. I'm not ill. How could I be ill when I'm here talking with you?
Climb through my window. Louis, what are you thinking of? And how dare you frighten me the way you did? To hear you say those words, threatening to strangle me. So unlike you. Oh, how dare you?
Even when you're angry, you're beautiful.
Get out of my room. Get out or I'll have the servants throw you out. Don't you understand, Louis, that I'm married now? That I have a husband? He's away for a week or two, but nevertheless, I'm a married woman.
But you didn't marry the de Franchi.
What is there about you, Louis? You've changed.
Have I?
There's something different about you.
I'm not surprised.
What is it?
Come closer. I won't bite. Are you still frightened that I might break your pretty neck?
Louis, such language. Is that what Corsica has done for you? Is that what Corsica has done?
Yes. Corsica knows me very well.
It has hardened you, toughened you. It's made you...
What?
Well, before you were so gentle, so quiet, so reserved, so different to...
To the type of man who would climb through your window and squeeze your neck.
Oh, don't talk like that.
I'm sorry.
You must have climbed over the wall up to the balcony.
Yes.
But it's so unlike you. And such a climb and...
You look amazed. You think perhaps that Corsica has done me some good?
Well, from what I heard, you were broken-hearted and dying because of my lack of interest in you. I didn't think that was so...
So much in possession of myself?
Yes.
You're annoyed, aren't you?
No. No, not really.
Yes, you are. You're annoyed. You're disappointed. Disappointed because I'm not, as Monsieur Godet says. It flattered your vanity. Your supreme egotism, didn't it? To think that a man might be dying because of his love for you.
What ridiculous nonsense.
It's true and you know it's true. You're still frightened of me.
Yes. Yes, Louis, I'm frightened. But it's not of you, it's me.
You?
Yes, you're self-possessed, calm, collected, but I...
You're uncertain about yourself. Perhaps the runaway match has not been successful.
But it has.
Perhaps now that you've met me again, you think you might have made a mistake. Oh, they were wonderful nights, weren't they? Nights of romance. My arms around you, your arms around me.
Don't. This is utterly ridiculous. And Louis, Annette will be back in a minute. She's gone along to Mama's room to get a fan for me. I left it there.
What is the matter?
I don't know. I've run out of words. What is there about you? What is there?
Emily. Oh, Emily, my darling. Don't go. Please don't go.
Again and again. Oh, Griffith, what shall we do?
There, there, madam. We can do nothing but wait.
Day after day, night after night, he can think of no one else. He can see no one else.
Yes, quite right, madame. All the weeks he's been here, he's not recognized you. Oh, madame, look at his poor fingers. They're so thin. And look at his hands. Just like skeleton hands.
What is it, Louis? What is it, my son?
On the terrace. The music in the distance. The moonlight. The Seine like a blue-white ribbon. Oh, it's a lovely night, Emily.
Yes, my son. It is a lovely night.
We won't dance, will we? We'll just stand out here in the moonlight, you and I. Your face near mine, so I can feel the softness of your cheek. Hear the beating of your heart.
Yes, my son.
We'll go on like this forever and ever, won't we? No. Go away. You're not Emily. Go away.
Louis.
Go away. Leave me alone. I want Emily. Don't crowd round me. Please don't crowd round me.
Let him be, madame. Let us go outside.
Emily, don't go away. Please don't go away.
I know, madame. I know, and it breaks my heart, too.
Oh, Griffith, what can I do? When I am with him, he tells me to go away. And when I am away from him, he calls for Emily.
Well, soon we will hear news, madame, and it will be good news. Wonderful news it'll be. Why, Mademoiselle Latouche, she will be with Lucien and Monsieur Godet. And then one day, perhaps even today, madame, you will be sitting here as we sit now. Oh, and then, madame, you will suddenly stiffen, and you will say, Griffith, listen. Horses in the valley. Only I can hear the horses, Griffith. And then, madame, you will hurry upstairs and you will prepare the room. And I shall open the gates, madame, and I'll quieten the dogs. And then they shall come, madame. Lucien and Monsieur Godet and Emilie.
Oh, they will never persuade her.
Oh, but of a certainty they will, madame. There's not a woman in the world who could do otherwise. Why, no woman could be so hard-hearted as that. And when Monsieur Godet tells her that Louis is dying... Oh, he will not die, madame. Oh, no, he will never die. But when Monsieur Godet tells this beautiful young lady that he is dying, only tells him, see, she will not be able to resist. No, she will not be able to come quickly enough.
Oh, Griffith, it is a forlorn hope.
Oh, no, madame. Perhaps the boat is in the harbor now. Perhaps at this very moment she walks across the gangplank and Lucien comes hurrying after her to bring her here. Oh, yes, madame, she will come. And then she will sit by his bedside. And soon he will be well and strong again. Aye, so well and so strong that you will not be able to tell him from Lucien.
They say that out of great happiness comes great pain. Out of pain comes happiness.
Aye, madame.
For all that I have suffered, for all that I suffer now, Griffith, there must be happiness for me somewhere in the future. My earnest prayer to the dear God is that somewhere, somehow, there will be happiness for Lucia, for Louis, and for their mother.
My darling, Emily.
Give him strength, O God. Give him strength to bear this cross.
Why, Lucien, I've been nearly out of my mind.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look at the time, nearly 10 o'clock. I've delayed the carriage. Dr. Couret is ready and waiting, and now... Well, it's doubtful if we'll be able to catch the boat.
Oh, Pierre, I'm sorry.
Where were you, Lucien? Did you get lost in the city?
Yes, perhaps I was lost.
Then there's not a minute to lose. Your bags are packed, everything's ready. We shall have to rush downstairs straight away. If we miss that boat, we'll have to wait 2 days before another one goes out.
Just a moment.
Yes, Lucien?
Pierre, this will not make any difference to your plans. You and the doctor can go off on your journey just the same and go to my mother and to Louis, but me... I...
What are you trying to say?
I shall stay in Paris for a time. What is the significance of Lucien's sudden change of plans? Is it connected with the surprise visit he paid to the beautiful Emilie? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.